The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Back second half of the program is live and underway, and as we come back, there are reports that yet another college football game has been canceled for this weekend. It comes from the Pac-12. Washington State at Stanford apparently is off the board. I believe that is now 16 games, which would be the most since we returned to play. Speaking of that, Bill Hancock, the executive director of the CFP, joining us. First of all, Bill, it's great to have you back. It's been a while, and I read a lot about you. I keep up with you, but it's great to hear you again on our program.
Paul, thank you. It's good to be back on again. I always enjoy our conversations.
Well, let's
both
talk
on the air and off the air.
Yeah, well, I've had to, I really do enjoy the ones off the air, maybe more than the ones on the air.
we're just two old newspaper men trying to do our best.
You're right, and the thing about you, I know that if you were sitting here, you'd be asking the same questions because you were a good newspaper editor and publisher in your time. Let me ask you just some basic stuff about where the CFP is. Everyone knows what's going on. It's constantly changing. But you made some statements the other day about what you would and wouldn't do based on the dates. The dates are still firm at the moment, are they not?
The dates are firm, yes.
Well, is there anything that could happen to change New Year's Day, and then obviously 11 days later for the CFP championship?
Oh, it is 2020, Paul. I think we all have to realize that. But we did not want to lengthen the season. Why add more time to have to be concerned about games? And that's really as much as anything what it came down to.
And in terms of what could or couldn't happen, I mean, nobody knows. I mean, you just heard me mention a game tomorrow is being postponed. It's being canceled. It's not being postponed anymore. But, you know, in the event that teams have bad news in the lead up to the January 1st games, what are you going to do?
We will be considering that. We don't have to decide on November 20. We will eventually, but everyone wants to wait and see what the circumstances are. I know you read this, but we know what won't happen. It won't be practical to move Team 5 up if Team 4 can't play. Team 5 could have already played its bowl game by the time that happened. And certainly the dominoes would fall if you took Team 5 out of its game. Who would go into its game? And so we know we won't do that. But as far as what we will do, we're going to take our time and do our due diligence over the next few weeks and decide.
And same question about the championship game, a little bit different because those two teams would not have had to or be involved in another game other than that one.
Same question. And really the same answer. We'll decide. We're not ready to do it now. We don't need to do it now. I think if we all have learned one thing about COVID and about sports, it is wait and see what the circumstances are and then make a decision. Don't speculate. Don't what if, but just wait and see and then make the decision.
Bill, you're about to get your committee back to together again. It's later than usual, but so is the end of the season. And I read where you were all going to gather as you always have. And as I say that, I've also read some very withering criticism of that decision by some of the people that cover college athletics saying, yeah, maybe it makes sense to do that for the final vote, but what purpose does it make, especially on a holiday weekend, to get everyone together now? Your reaction?
I'm smiling, Paul, because I have to say this. College football criticism?
I decided not to read every one. I figure you can read them on your own.
Yeah, and let me add this to Paul Feinbaum, Bill Hancock, criticism.
Gambling in Casablanca, are you kidding me?
It all goes with the territory, and if you're an open-minded person, you take criticism for what it is. Somebody who cares and has an opinion, and we're all so lucky. You and I are both lucky. We're in a world where people care about what we have to say. But we're meeting in person. Well, one thing about meeting in person is we're asking our players and coaches to go play in person. So it sort of makes sense that how can we ask them to go play and not ask the committee to meet in person. The ADs on the committee regularly go to their team's games and they travel for other purposes. So we understand that people would some people have different opinions, but if you think about it, the most robust conversation that any of us ever have is face to face. And I know that you do it on radio and TV, but the best conversation is face-to-face. And if you think about the Zoom opportunity, our meeting runs, 7 to 8 hours on Monday afternoon and an additional 3, 4, 5 hours on Tuesday. And as anyone who's been on a Zoom call knows, Zoom worked fine for an hour or two, but it's not very productive for an 8, 10, 12-hour meeting. So, and our committee is very serious about its work, and they know how important it is to get things right.
Bill, I certainly understand the final meeting in person, but you know, there's not that much that's going to be determined week one, is there?
I get asked that fairly often. That's another fair question, and the answer is, the committee learns so much about every team, and there is so much to know about every team, that these four meetings before selection weekend add to their base of knowledge. And I just don't think people would appreciate it if we just dropped out of the sky on selection weekend and said, here are the rankings. I just don't think that is what we need to do.
Well, listen, I'm not going to read you all the criticism because you can read it for yourself, and I'm not going to debate because I don't really know the answer. You're right. We are a very active society, especially in this sport, and clearly these people take it seriously. How was that determination made, if I may ask?
To meet in person?
Yes.
The selection committee decided.
All right.
They're eager to come together.
I know that.
They know. They've been on Zooms. They know how that goes. And really, if you haven't been in the room, you really can't understand the nature of the back and forth and the pointed conversations. Okay. And I can just picture on Zoom somebody, you know, talking over the other person like we all do, or kind of waving their hand to get recognized, and it's just better in person.
Yeah, no, I have never been in that room, I can assure you. I've tried to find out what happens in those rooms, but I've never been in one. Bill, I know that these questions sometimes seem repetitive, but as we turn the corner, and this is now what we all love and appreciate, what has this experience been like for you? Because I mentioned that because I know I read that you had to deal with COVID like so many coaches have. We've had two head coaches on already today and one yesterday who have all had to quarantine. You've been through it yourself, so you're certainly qualified to understand better than some of us who fortunately have not been through it what it's like.
Let me tell you, Paul, you don't want it. I was lucky. Mine was pretty mild. I never even missed any work. We were working remotely at the time, and I never missed any work, although in the afternoon I would get tired. And I will say this, I still do not have my sense of smell or taste.
Wow.
It's so bad that my wife gave me some beets 2 weeks ago, beets, which I do not like at all, and I hate them, but I couldn't taste them.
Lucky you.
You don't want them. But on the other hand, I can't taste a root beer float. So, but I'm confident that will come back. And of all the residual symptoms that I could have, those are the two most minor. I'm happy to have those instead of some of the other really, really horrible things that people have gone through.
When you hear the news that I just broke in with, it's 17 games this weekend, the most we've had, 15 last. It's a constant issue, and everyone knew what we were getting into, and everyone is dealing with it. I'm curious. I mean, I frankly think it's worth it. I'm sure you do. But there are critics who especially with college athletics, don't understand what we're dealing with here. I'd like to give you an opportunity to maybe answer some of those who don't quite understand what the passionate fans that are part of this program and the passionate people that you'll be together with in a couple of days and what this is all about.
Yes, people love their college football. The players wanted to play. Coaches wanted to coach. My daughter-in-law is a college soccer coach, and her players wanted to play. They were, like, desperate to play, and they were able to play their season. And I don't believe too strongly in, well, the country needs this, but there is an element of that. I will also say that even though I wasn't involved in the decision to play, my focus is on the postseason, of course, but I was delighted when we were able to play, and every cancellation is a punch in the gut for me because I love Saturdays and love college football, and I feel so bad for the players when they have to learn that they can't play. It's a punch in the gut for them. We're all just, everybody is doing their best and trying to get through this and reading the happy news about vaccines for the first or second quarter of next year. But I just have to repeat, everybody's trying so hard to make this happen.
Well, Bill, thank you, as always, for coming on. We get a lot out of it, and we appreciate you making the time. I know it's a particularly busy time of the year for you. I hope you'll come back.
Yep. Thank you, Paul. Take care. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Bill Hancock, the executive director of the CFP on their protocol for next week and what the end of the season looks like. We'll get back to your phone calls. Been a while. At 855-242-7285 when we continue.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. Richard is up next as we roll on here on a Friday afternoon. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I wanted to
just put in my little 2 cents worth about, you know, Tim Brando's thing. I think, you know, a lot of people have came up with all these scenarios of way to, you know, the way to do a playoff. And I actually kind of think it's as good as it's going to get, because if it's increased to whatever, 16, 8, 16, 32 or whatever, it's going to get right back to those final four. And depending on who the, you know, who would get a bye if it was increased to 16 or whatever.
Well, Richard, Brando is, let me make it clear, he's talking primarily about eight. And if you go to eight, the model has already been discussed. It's going to be the five conference champion, the Power Five. There will be a group of five representative where, you know, I think that's what Brando is mentioning, and then two more. I mean, the arguments are interesting, but, you know, to label it the Sun Belt Invitational as if Bill Hancock and this committee arbitrarily just choose the same teams every year because that's what they like is not valid, because, I mean, these teams are deserving that get in. Now, there may be some quibbling about the final team, but usually there's no debate about one, two, or three.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I do have one other comment, though. If the season were to quit right now, the final four would it not be Clemson, I mean, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State? That would be correct, wouldn't it?
That would be correct. And, you know, again, you know, there's
some... My question, Paul, is I know Ohio State is probably where they should be, but it is left for all the other teams in their conference to prove them wrong. They're just in from the get-go.
That is accurate. Yeah, I mean, they've looked good, but you know, I wouldn't say they have what I would call a quality win yet either.
No. You know, we all kind of had the same problems, I thought at least, about Notre Dame. I wasn't sure Notre Dame was where they needed to be until they played Clemson, and I'm not. You know, I'm almost unhappy that somebody had to lose that game. It was such a good game. I do think we're going to watch them again, and I think we'll see a different result. But the Final Four will not change. I think that you know, my only question is that a lot of the teams that are in the SEC, their argument is always in the SEC West at least, is we had to play Alabama. Where this year, at least it appears that Ohio State's not going to have to prove themselves until they get to that game against Alabama.
Richard, I agree. Let me say this in defense of Ohio State. I realize they can't do anything about what happened, but they did have a game at Oregon, which is tough a non-conference game as you can schedule. So, I mean, their intent was good. They just didn't get to follow up on it. Let me move along. Adam is in Ohio. Adam, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey there. Go right ahead, Adam.
Hey. How's it going, Paul?
It's great. Appreciate your call.
Are you there?
Yeah, we are here, Adam. One Adam 12.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Paul, I was just getting your opinion on this. I'm a first-time caller.
Sure.
I've been trying to get a hold of you. I respect your show and your
Thank
opinions.
You.
It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah, Adam, what's your question?
Oh, okay. No, I want to know, so why do you think Kyle Trask isn't getting the respect he deserves as the Heisman Trophy head candidate? I mean, he's put up great numbers in all SEC competition. And then a second question would be, do you believe Ohio State will deserve a playoff spot if they only play five or six games and a team like Florida or another team play 10 games?
Yeah, Adam, let me answer your questions. I think Kyle Trask is getting respect. In some of the Heisman polls, he's at or near the top. I think Kyle Trask has a great path in front of him. He has Tennessee later in the year on the road. He has LSU. And Alabama, I think if he continues at the same path he's going and wins out, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. I don't have any doubt. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Ohio State is going to need to play more than five games to be eligible, because otherwise, you know, in the Big Ten, they would not qualify for the Big Ten championship game. I think they'll get enough games in, and I do think they'll qualify. Let's move along. And how about John in St. Louis. Hey, John, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Paul, how are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Very good. I want to talk a little bit about Barry Odom. It seems like everybody is kind of jumping on the Barry Odom bandwagon. And, you know, Barry Odom took over and coached the game this past weekend at Florida. And Barry Odom performed, you know, like a real loser. I mean, that's the reason the University of Missouri terminated and got rid of him, is because of those kind of performances. So before everybody starts talking about how great Barry Odom is, I mean, let's look at the, you know, look at the facts. He was a mediocre coach at Missouri, and, you know, those kind of performances are just, you know, mediocre.
Yeah, John,
Barry Odom is a good coordinator, but
he is not a head coach now, though. He's a coordinator. I agree with you. I don't think he was a great head coach, but he's a superb defensive coordinator.
He's a superb coordinator. I don't agree with this, sir.
Well, I think all you have to do, though, John, is look at the results of what Arkansas has done. And when we had Coach Pittman on here a couple of hours ago, he said that was the best hire he made. And I asked him, you know, the reason for his success. He pointed toward the hires. And Barry Odom is very likely to win the National Assistant Coach of the Year. I understand the frustration from Missouri. I clearly understand it. I think the program's in better shape today. But that does not mitigate what Barry Odom did, has done this year. Up against a break. More to come. We are going to continue hopscotching around the SEC, talking to various people covering some of the games. And Lauren Sisler will join us next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it's all about the UGA offense. Pretty explosive the first couple of weeks, but injuries and some tough opponents have dissipated that production, and it needs to improve with Mizzou coming to town. And speaking of that, part of the coverage tomorrow on the Missouri-Georgia game will be our Lauren Sisler. Always great to catch up with Lauren. Lauren, it's been a while. We talked to you a couple of months ago, I guess, as you were anticipating the first week. How has the Mississippi State, I'm sorry, Georgia, I'm confused myself. How has the fall gone for you?
Paul, look, it's okay to be confused. I think we're all confused as to which week we are in the season. I always have to remind myself it's like week 9 of the SEC college football season, I think. And then when we start mixing in all these statistics and we're like, well, hey, this quarterback leads in this category of the quarterbacks that's only had 2 games or 4 games or 6 games or whatever. So I'm with you there, Paul. It's hard to keep up with it, but hey, we're here. We're surviving. I got this beautiful backdrop at Sanford Stadium behind me, and I'm just thankful to be covering this game tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, this is a game, Mississippi State, I'll say that a couple of times, and Georgia, they're both dogs. there's always some concern about, this is one of those games there was a little bit of concern about. What do you know in terms of Mississippi State's numbers?
Yeah, obviously news came down that there was some testing issues. We knew that these past couple of weeks the team has been decimated due to COVID and or contact tracing. And so we kind of thought that the wave had sort of cleared itself through these last couple of weeks, as 2 weeks ago they were kind of on the brink of having to cancel their game. And then obviously last week having to cancel their game against Auburn due to the numbers. But as of right now, no certainty on who is not available from that depth chart at this point. So hopefully we'll get more information on that. But it'll certainly be interesting because this is a Mississippi State team that, you know, while they're 2-4, things have not translated in the win column. You know, certainly if you're a Mississippi State player, you want to try to finish this season out strong. And obviously Mike Leach being the guy right now coming in to try to resurrect things or change things around and not getting the job done. So I know there's some concern there. And obviously with injuries and, of course, COVID, things have not been going in their favor.
Yeah, and that's such a big part of this game, Lauren, because, you know, State has lost a lot of players, some very well known. This week they lost the son of the Big Ten commissioner, not as well known as his father. But yeah, as you get ready for this game, talk to people. What exactly is going on with Mike Leach's first season?
Yeah, you know, I think in talking to some people in the program, I think one of the biggest things, and I talked with Peter Burns earlier this morning on the radio as well, I think one of the things that we're seeing from this program is you get a guy like Mike Leach that comes in. He is a disciplinarian, and that is what they said all along from the beginning, from jump, the opening press conference. We're bringing Mike Leach in to be a disciplinarian, and I think that some of that might have been lacking the last couple of years under Joe Moorhead, that discipline. The culture and what they were looking for. You might have seen some of that more against more of that with Dan Mullen, but ultimately you got to get these guys to buy in. And I think that might be some of the struggle that you're seeing, guys buying in. And it's easy when you're 2-4 on the season, you're thinking about something else. Maybe you want to opt out. Maybe you're not bought in. And for Mike Leach, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? If you're Mike Leach, maybe you're looking at it like, hey, this is an opportunity for me to come in and recruit some of my guys. But you know, I'll say on the other side of it and talking to defensive coordinator Arnett, he basically said, you know, we have to prop up some of the recruiting that was done ahead of this. Obviously, our defense, that's the bright spot for this team right now. The defensive side of the football is the bright spot for Mississippi State. And so he was giving them props for the guys they brought in. But, you know, you got to imagine it's really tough from a cultural standpoint when you see guys opting out. Why are they not playing? Why are they not sticking with this program? And, you know, you saw it at the beginning of the season when COVID was a concern, but now COVID's not the concern so much in terms of the health aspect of it. It's more of the, you know, just being with this program and deciding, I just don't want to play football anymore. So certainly would love to be a fly on the wall and figure out some of the things that are going on behind closed doors from that aspect. But I will tell you, in talking to the players, they have said that Leach is an all business guy. And I think he is a no strikes, you're out kind of guy. So one strike, you're gone. And I imagine that, you know, some of that plays into this as well. And guys not necessarily, you know, buying into the mindset and the culture that Mike Leach has brought with him from Washington State.
And Lauren, finally, here we go again, the quarterback situation at Georgia. It seems like we know what's going to happen this week, but what are you hearing?
Well, as of right now, you know, the expectation midweek, we were hearing that JT Daniels was going to be the starting quarterback, that we would see him out on the field tomorrow. I think the expectation is still there. Obviously, Stetson Bennett still questionable due to the shoulder injury that he had against Florida. And I know that he's been taking care of that injury, having to get shots to be able to throw the football. Kirby Smart had noted that. And so JT Daniels was not cleared at the beginning of the season with the ACL knee injury. And so he wasn't cleared until a few weeks into the season. And so the question was he just not ready to go? What was going on behind closed doors? And I think now the expectation is we will see him out on the field and perhaps get a look at, you know, what he's capable of doing. And I think right now Georgia really is looking for that spark on offense. And I think they're hoping that perhaps he could be their guy if he is, in fact, the starting quarterback tomorrow.
Lauren Sisler reporting on the Mississippi State Georgia game. Lauren, thank you. We will talk to you very, very soon. A lot to do on the program. We have been busy from start to finish, beginning with Sam Pittman. And we had Bill Hancock on, Joe Tess. We still have Chris Doering a little bit later on. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We continue back and more calls. And Keith is up next on Long Island. Hello, Keith.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good. Good to hear. Just a quick comment about what Tim Bando was saying about it being the, you know, whatever, the Sun Belt Open or whatever it is. If you look back over the last 30 or 40 years, it's literally the same five or six or seven teams playing for the national championship now as it was then. I mean, basically the only team that's missing now that was around then is like Nebraska, and this year Penn State's down. But it's Ohio State, Michigan, you know, USC, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, you know, and that's pretty much the rotation for the last 40, 50 years.
Well, Keith, there's a reason for that. You're right. And I guess we're so used to, because of politics and tribalism and every walk of life, the people just throwing stuff up there. But the bottom line is, you know, we're not just, you know, gifting schools like Clemson and Alabama a free pass. I mean, these are really good programs, as you stated. So I'm mixed on whether, you know, what reason we have to make sure everybody gets in. This is a unique playoff. I don't have a problem with more schools, but I frankly don't like the idea that, okay, we have to get the Pac-12 and we have to beat the Big 12. Why do we have to get them if they're not good enough?
Well, the other side of that coin is if you go into 24 teams, let's say, you're going to have to cut the regular season down a game or two. If
well,
you're going to continue to, because you're going to have these guys playing 18 games or whatever.
Keith, it will never happen because the bowl system is not this year, but most years is too important to the overall health of college football. Yeah, I can see us going to eight at some point in time with everyone represented. And, you know, some of you are asking, well, why would everyone get a C? Well, because the people that make the decision are the commissioners of all these conferences.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. It just seems to be, I'll just cut it off and say, I agree with the eight teams. I think that should be enough.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, this is not like the Indiana State High School Basketball Association where everybody gets in. Everyone has a chance. All you have to do is win your league and you have a legitimate shot at, I'm talking about the big leagues, of getting in.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's absurd to say that some teams don't have, I mean, the schools that are at a disadvantage are simply the ones like BYU, Cincinnati, Liberty this year, but do we expect Liberty to compete for the national championship? Even if they beat three ACC schools, if they win tomorrow, that's great. But they haven't beaten the best of the ACC. They've beaten good. I mean, for Liberty, it's unbelievable beating Virginia Tech and Syracuse. But does anyone really think Liberty could beat Notre Dame or Clemson? Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Zach, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? This is Zach. Love the show. I just want to, first off, wish the king of college football, Dabo Swinney, a happy birthday.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
He's one of a kind, and I really wish all y'all actually give him a little bit more respect. You know the man's going to have between 9 or 10 natties by the time he's saved his age.
I didn't realize that, you know, but he
go back to Alabama and, you know, live like a king the rest of his life.
Oh, can't believe he would ever leave Clemson, South Carolina.
Well, what's wrong with Clemson, South Carolina?
I just said I can't believe he would ever leave there.
They're on the map every day. I'm sorry.
I can't imagine why he would leave there. He's the king there. He's not the king anywhere else. Let's check in with Steve in Tampa. Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, isn't it great that the biggest decision to be made by the Georgia Bulldogs this weekend is their color of their jerseys? Well, what a butt whooping does for them, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing how important those issues are. I really feel sorry for Georgia because that's about all they have left to accomplish is come up with a new color scheme.
Missouri football, Paul, I wanted to talk to you real quick about that if I could.
Of course.
They when Gary Pinkel left or retired, it seemed like, you know, he knew it was time. I think he was kind of disenchanted with the way his team had reacted to some of the things that happened that year. And Barry Odom came in and kind of just let the team at some point run things, make the big decisions. And I think he lost the team. I don't think he had the respect of the team, although some of them said that, you know, they respected him and thought the world of him. But look how they played on the field. And it's a shame that previous caller was talking about it. Barry Odom lost the team, and unfortunately, I think he hurt Missouri football for years, and it's going to take someone pretty strong to bring that thing
back. Yeah, Steve, I think the insane NCAA sanctions didn't help either, and it was completely unjustified, as you know and I know. But I do like where the program is. I think UI is a very charismatic. He's everything Barry Odom wasn't. I mean, Barry Odom was fundamentally a really sound defensive football coach. He was an average head coach, and when one of the more uninspirational interviews you could ever find.
Eli's going to need to be a leader, though, and you know.
Well, that's a question. You're right. You have to be the full. He's still young in his career. He's got a lot of things going for him. But not everything. Hey, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. He may have everything before it's over. Greg is in Mississippi. Greg, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul. I barely hear you, but anyway, we'll just persevere. I just want to kind of pick up that with the Mississippi State the other day. We was talking. I hope you remember. But, Mr. Paul, I'll just be honest with you. I think Mr. Cohen was a great baseball coach. He was a good player here at Mississippi State, but I don't know about the AD in there. I really do.
Well, he hired Moorhead, which turned out to be mediocre.
Ring size Moorhead.
Yeah, and I don't know what to make out of the Leach hire. I know it's pretty early on. The results have been pretty bad. I don't know whether. Well, yeah.
I mean. I'm a glass half full guy, Mr. Paul, but Strickland left to 5 years ago to go to Florida. Mr. Mullins, Coach Mullins has got the wheels turning. That's going to end up in his future. And then we hire everybody in the club need a ring size, Jomo.
Yeah, I never quite bought into the Jomo hire. I mean, I understand why he hired Leach. It was late in the year, and Leach had a big-time reputation. But, you know, Leach's shortcomings have always been his quirkiness, his inability to be adaptable. And at Mississippi State, you know it better than I do. You have to be able to fit in down there, and I'm not sure that's exactly working out for him yet.
We've got to at least give him a chance, don't you think?
There's no question.
We give Jomo 2 years to run us in the ground.
Well, yeah. I think Leach will get a chance. I mean, I wouldn't dare make a determination on this season. But,
I've been following the Bulldogs for about 55 years now, and I tell you what, I've never seen it this low. I mean, just other than baseball, I tell you what, come on spring, if you know what I mean. Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's sorry to hear that, because it's a really proud program and some great days there over the many, many years, especially when Jackie Sherrill was there. And really since then, Dan Mullen had that program percolating pretty well as well. We're heading to a break. Another hour to go. Chris Doering will join us in the final hour, and we will also get back to your phone calls.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.